It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy, a morning coffee rip here. My name is Joey. That's Len. This is number 326. Buddy, how's it going over there?
Not too bad at all. Still under the weather, but I'm getting better day by day. How about you?
I'm great, man. Mark and I went to an event last night. We'll talk about that more on the CVP next week. But very good to see all the folks interested in finance, world ending, stuff like that. Let's do the quote. Last week's quote: "We cannot despair of humanity since we ourselves are human beings." That was by Albert Einstein. And David got that one. So congrats, David. He's the only guest, actually. And this week's quote is: "The issue today is the same as it has been throughout all history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite." Who's that by? Any idea? I have no idea myself. But if you know, you can put it in the comment section on EasyDNS, accessofeasy.com, which is also where you can subscribe to the newsletter and find out what we're talking about and what we're not talking about on the podcast. So anyway, Len, lots to discuss today. Let's hop right in, buddy.
Let's talk about the Lockbit ransomware group, and they stole a treasure trove of information, 1.5 terabytes of data from the Canadian government. And this is the third party, the third data breach that reached Canadian government employees. It's been pretty bad over there. And this information dates back to everything that's been stolen since 1999. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I think we got a little bit more information. So the breach affects employees from the Canadian Armed Forces, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and other government agencies. And the information stolen was from two relocation companies, one being Brookfield Global Relocation Services. Brookfield's huge.
Yeah.
And the other being Serva Worldwide Relocation and Moving Services. Not too aware how big they are, but I'm assuming they are quite large. The companies were breached back in September or October of this year, and the attackers made a demand asking for $7.5 million. And the Canadian government is advising government employees to change their passwords, enable multi-factor authentication, the whole stuff there. Well, the data breach is a very serious violation of privacy, and it outlines that there's a major security failure here. And it's not only big organizations are being impacted by this, but even now the Canadian government. So this is another one that we could just add on to the list of data breaches. And these cause devastating impacts to individuals in organizations. And this just really outlines people need to take special care, extra care of their data, their information, because if you do input that somewhere online, it's going to be possible that it could be used against you in the future, because these are very serious problems, these data breaches. However, in this case, I don't think the government of Canada employees had any option here, because they basically got the information straight from the employee, entered it into database, entered it into the Brookfield and the Serva databases, and from there it was stolen. So this is really nothing that the individual could have done to protect themselves. It's more so the organization could have put extra barriers. So really, all you have to do now is be very careful if you think you're impacted. Use strong passwords, enable multi-factor authentication, especially a good one at that, or even a two-factor that's really, really good. There's options out there that you could look at. And you have to be very careful. You have to check your financial history, check your credit score, check your bank accounts, check your credit cards, check everything to make sure that there's no anomalies being recorded, because if they are, then potentially you might have been impacted from this. But yeah, these data breaches, they're coming out fast and furious. There's more and more of these every day, and even a very, very large, and in this case, the largest organization, the government of Canada, has been impacted. So take very special care of your data moving forward.
Pretty crazy. Eh? Like they note in the article that questions, you know, that you'd usually use as like a security question on an account, like what street did you live on in 2005? Because of the nature of Brookfield and the service they provide, you could have that answer in your information that was taken by these guys, which is nuts. Other interesting thing here, like you mentioned, it's hard to really defend against this. Some of the history of this group is incredible. From the article, it has previously used this method to breach TSMC by way of an IT vendor. It breached UK's Ministry of Defense through a metal fencing provider and got some data from SpaceX via a laser cutting outfit. Hard to defend against that. So I would just recommend, again, like we talk all the time on the show, but which organizations are honeypots? More and more, Len, we got to add government to that list, unfortunately. Sucks, because a lot of people have their data there by force, not by choice, but looks like they're, you know, in the same boat as some of these other outfits that are they're targeted and eventually compromised.
Yeah, everybody files their taxes. They submit some information. So yeah, that's the reality of it. But we're gonna move on and talk about, well, something called Nothing Chats. Never heard of this app before, but there was a security vulnerability that was discovered in this app. And Nothing Chats is powered by Sunbird and allows you to directly message other phone users using your phone. And the way I understand this is it's just a front end for Sunbird. It's another chat app out there. I never heard of it. Obviously, I never used it. But, well, it can no longer be considered secured if it once was considered to be secured, as the user data is being stored unencrypted. And the app sends the user data also to a third-party server, unencrypted. As a result for these security concerns, Google has decided to pull it from its Play Store altogether. I'm not sure if it's on the iOS or iOS App Store, but I'm guessing it's not. And again, these types of security concerns, they put the user at great risk. This is extremely vulnerable data that's unencrypted. And people should be aware when you're using apps like this and submitting this information, including the information within the, you put in the text, the communications, this is not secured. So even like you could go into tangent here, stuff like WhatsApp, don't put secret information and secure information in there. Find something that's more secure if you want to send something that you deem to be private. But anyways, people should be avoiding this Nothing Chats app like the plague. And yeah, basically there's nothing else I got to say about this because other than it's a piece of crap. It didn't respect your privacy from the get-go, unencrypted, sending it to third party. It's just bad all around. So hopefully if you are a user of it, mitigate some to somewhere else.
Nothing much to add here, Len, except that you're going to see more of these private chat apps pop up as more governments, you know, kind of show their hand in terms of their ability to grab chats from places like Signal and Telegram. So be careful. I know there's another one that I saw yesterday on the App Store called Keet, which I believe is it's run by Bitcoiners. I'm interested to see where that goes. But, you know, this idea of having your data on a server, encrypted or otherwise, like, you know, how many times on this show have we talked about encrypted data being grabbed by hacker groups or other black hat actors? You just can't risk it anymore. And so don't add to your attack surface by using these kinds of apps. Just use what you know is secure. Right now, I think it's Signal and Telegram, although we'll see what happens with this Binance stuff. Obviously, there's some talk about the US government getting access to CZ's Telegram or Signal chats, I should say. But all this, to say that there's going to be more competition popping up as the incumbents show that they are more vulnerable than maybe we thought. So keep an eye on all this stuff.
So with respect to CZ, I suspect it has to do more with vulnerabilities of the operating system he's running. He could have run Signal on his computer on a compromised phone and stuff like that, and that would be enough to make it. So you can't have it totally secure if the layer below it has been compromised.
Right, and that's Keet, a good point.
Joey, yeah. I have Keet. I'm not sure you
said how do you like it? I have Keet on my phone. I haven't really tried it out yet.
It's another app. It's secure. It's just another app. Yeah,
secure is good. Good place to start. Anyway, we'll talk about Keet maybe in a month or two when they get compromised. We'll hear more about them.
Hey, name drop. Name drop. It's now a new feature in iOS 17. And it's getting a lot of publicity, a lot of press these days for, I guess, the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Because it offers convenience, but it also raises concerns about privacy. Because it, instead of manually involving sending your contacts to other people, name drop enables you to exchange this information effortlessly, wirelessly, and it does it automatically through Bluetooth.
It doesn't do it automatically. So this is a problem with this article. And the problem with name drop and the way that they're describing this, and I have an iPhone, you know, full disclosure, but you still have to accept that you're trading contact information with somebody. What it will give you is an avatar or a picture of the person who wants to do the name drop, but you can't actually do the exchange without accepting it first. So in fairness, this article is talking more about kids. You know, I guess they might make mistakes. They might be vulnerable. They might be easy to convince to do this kind of thing, but it's not automatic. And there's not a lot of people talking about this. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of a, in my opinion, it's a bit of a, you know, fearmonger and this talking about all they could, they could use a different picture and stuff like this. Fine, I guess. But I just, you know, Apple makes a good product, I think, generally speaking, the phone, and it may not be secure against like hacker groups, for example. You know, if you really try hard enough, I'm sure you can find some vulnerabilities. I mean, they update the phone to patch these things all the time, but this is not one of them. And I'm not surprised to see, again, this lens of protecting kids. We need to be in your phone to protect kids. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. What do you think about it?
Well, I don't really care much about it. I mean, if it is doing it on its own, it sounds like it's not without you. Then it's problematic, especially as you know you mentioned for kids. But if it's not doing it on its own, that's fine. The real sin here is the collection of data that is being done by the mothership. Now, if it's done on a user level, let's be honest. If you and I are strangers, and you know, hypothetically, even if it did it on its own, our information was my contact list and your contact list was shared between each other without us noticing.
It's not even the contact list. It's just your contact card.
You know what? Does it really matter in the end? Because the big sin here is the collection of data from the mothership. Okay. That is the big one. So you're just basically putting a soldier on the front line and shooting him, but not shooting the general or the person that started the war to begin with. Okay. You know, that's just the way I'm looking at it. I mean, you may think that Apple makes a good product. It's a closed system loop. It's closed source.
As soon as I said it, I'm like, fuck, he's going to tear me up.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way to ensure that your privacy has been respected. It's a sandbox. Sorry. It's a trust me, bro type situation. And as Bitcoiners, we don't deal with that. We trust. No. We verify. Yes. And we cannot do it with Apple products. So with that being said, this whole name drop feature, everything that's being said about it. I mean, I was going to mention this, the sharing of all these contacts, at least the way I understand it now, the individual contact per the phone, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, really, who cares? But the bigger problem is, what is the mothership collecting? And what is it doing with that information? We do not know. And you know what? Likely we will never know. Fair. Data is very important. Data is very expensive. And collection of data and selling of that data, this is a business for a lot of companies out there. Is Apple doing it? Is Apple doing it internally? I don't know what the heck they're doing. We will never know what they're doing. But why give them the opportunity? Stay anonymous. Use something else.
No, that's a fair point, man. Fair point. As always, you've convinced me to come down off my Apple high horse here. I feel like Humpty Dumpty just shattered once again.
One day, Joey, we're going to have you running on a full open source system, phone, computer, everything. And even a crappy video game system at that. So we'll move on. The World Economic Forum.
Love it.
And they're making their first appearance on this show since we started talking here and making recordings. I don't think we talked about them before.
Maybe in like passing or tangentially, but they haven't been the headliner like they are for this little article here.
You know what? I don't talk about them very much generally to begin with. But anyways, they and the UN, they're making headways and they're going to try to stop cyberbullying and online hate speech. So the combined efforts of those two, good for them. The UN agency, the UNESCO, which is rumored to have been being supported by the WEF, they've come up with something called Internet of Trust. So they say here, if we can no longer distinguish fiction from reality, falsehood from truth, the foundations of our societies crumble. Democracy, dialogue, and debate, all essential to address major contemporary challenges, becomes impossible, UNESCO says. I like what they're saying, but in reality, let's be honest. Let's go back 3 years.
Yeah.
We know what happened in 2020. How many people were given information and were supportive of something and willingly putting stuff in their bodies and covering up their only ability to take in oxygen? They did this with information that was provided to them from sources that may have been given information. We do not know. We question it. So with all that being said, I understand what you're trying to achieve here, but the reality is trust is no longer there. It's crumbled. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So the people that are trying to portray this message, you have to take it with a grain of salt. They may be saying the good things, but you have to go look at the history of what they've done. And if there is a spotty history to begin with, well, then everything they say at that point moving forward is no longer going to be considered trustful. And this is another situation. So good luck for them to try to regulate speech on social media, because that's a slippery slope, and especially doing that on something like Twitter, or X these days, good luck. Elon Musk is not going to play ball with you.
Yeah, there's going to be a bigger push, I think, especially after the Elon Deal Book outburst from earlier this week, to regulate speech on the internet vis-a-vis other vehicles not called the Twitter internal, you know, safety and violence team or whatever other nonsense they came up with under Noah Roth or whatever that guy's name was. Like, look, we've talked about this a lot, this idea that there's going to be opportunities, let's say, for governments and for, you know, even NGOs to attack free speech under the guise of misinformation and safety and all that. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. The only people who have trouble, you know, deciding what is true and what is not true on the internet are the people who want to regulate this stuff. Everyone else knows what's true and what's not true. The way that Twitter works or X works, yeah, there is some stuff on there that is less than savory. Yeah, there is some stuff on there that advertisers don't like, but you can parse it for yourself. And, you know, with community notes now and all these other vehicles, I never hear UNESCO or the WEF talking about how community notes is a work in progress and it is doing a good job parsing some, you know, falsehoods from truth. They want to do it themselves. And they don't, I think the most important thing is here, they don't want you to be able to influence the outcomes that they decide are the proper ones. That's always the case. And as long as that's the case, I don't buy it. No one else should either.
Agreed. United States and the UK, well, they're coming together because they're going to be, well, let's discuss this secure artificial intelligence systems, at least the development of it, and cybersecurity and AI systems and guidelines. Well, they have been released by the United States and the UK, along with international partners. And this is a way to ensure that AI systems are designed and developed to deploy in a secure manner. And there is an emphasis on the importance of ownership of security for when it comes to the outcomes, when it comes to customers. And what they're trying to achieve here is make sure that AI system developers are accountable for the security of their product. Sounds pretty good, but we'll see what transpires from this. All this of note is that there's a lot of call for transparency and accountability and building a trustworthy and trustful network, AI network and AI system is something that people or the companies are going to want to do, especially now at the very, very beginning of all this. The company that is perceived to be the most secure, most transparent, provides the most accountability, and also provides the most security is probably going to run away with it. So the ones that don't, they're going to obviously suffer the consequences of less users going over to them. Also about how the data is being used. This is something that is key here because, again, that's going to be part of the accountability and transparency of things. But really, because of the actors involved, we're talking about the big players of the US and the UK and the fact that they may want to divert or direct people's attentions or ideas a certain direction. I'm not too keen on what's going to come out from all this. So I like what they're saying, but I have second thoughts if there's actually going to be true transparency and accountability, ownership, security, and all that stuff they're trying to say here. Because let's be honest, they're trying to serve the narrative of that they're trying to put out. And if it's something that's against what they're trying to say, they're going to try to stop it. And this is one way to do it. It's like just another social media type aspect here, another search engine. The way I look at AI, it's just really a more advanced search engine. And we see what Google does. You see what, you know, why are they going to change anything with these AI systems?
No,
probably not.
Yeah. No. And I would say that as well, you know, this is an effort again. I would love to see who the funding bodies are for this kind of stuff and who's giving them advice and who's providing the expertise. I suspect it's the guys who benefit the most from pulling up the ladder in terms of regulatory burden and whatnot. We've seen this in every other industry. We're already seeing it in AI. I think this is probably akin to that. And to your point, you know, these guys have been bad actors on basically every front. I think Google even removed the do no evil thing from their website some years ago. Now that's all they do. And I think a lot of the AI providers, a lot of the AI providers are probably in the same boat. So yeah, be aware, man. Don't use the stuff if you don't absolutely have to. Protect your data as best you can.
Agreed.
That's it.
And
that's it.
No, there's
right?
one last thing we have to mention.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Jeftovic is going to be he's the CEO of EasyDNS. He's going to be speaking at something called SplinterCon. It's going to be SplinterCon, sorry. It's going to be taking place in Montreal, December 7th and 8th. And this is a conference devoted to examining the effects and remedies of internet splitting, government crackdowns, and political actions that interrupt or quash the free flow of information online. And I took a look. The SplinterCon objectives are technology for reaching isolated networks and practical solutions for independent communications within national networks. I tried to take a look to see if how much it costs to sign up. I couldn't find it, but you can register as a guest. They are telling people to please do so by December 1st, and this is due to limited space. And they are going to confirm every registration manually, and this is with all due respect. And Mark's speech, it's going to be about the rise of decentralized naming, incentives, opportunities, and consequences. You know, we talked a lot about naming services here in Canada and worldwide on the show, so this would be interesting, because if they're going to try to decentralize this, I think this is a good opportunity, because if you have it all into one spot and you have a few people control naming domain names and stuff like that, it's problematic. So check it out if you're interested. December 1st is a sign up date taking place December 7th and 8th in Montreal, so check it out.
Yeah, if you're looking to visit La Belle Province, Mark always giving good talks. I hope they post this somewhere. I should have asked Mark last night if he was planning on posting this somewhere, if there's going to be an opportunity to see it remote or recorded or whatever. But obviously we're partial here. We like Mark quite a bit. He's been a good friend to our show and obviously has allowed us an opportunity to do this program as well. But he makes a lot of good points, Len. You know, he's talked a lot about the rise of decentralized everything over the last 20 years. And it's good to see him finally getting that message out to more and more people, because he's a guy I think a lot of us could benefit from listening to, honestly. So that's a wrap, I think. Comments here, closing remarks?
No, take a look at the price of Bitcoin if you already haven't done so. But that's we'll see what happens. Maybe by the time next week, it will be 25K, which would be, in my opinion, great, because then I can buy it on the cheap. But I'm always looking to buy cheap Bitcoin. But anyways, that's all I got to say.
You and me both. Thanks for coming in early, Len. Thanks for listening, everybody, and watching. Don't forget to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube, all that good stuff. And if you got questions or short stories to share, send them to Mark, send them to us. We'll put them in. We're happy to accommodate whatever interest you guys have as best we can. So anyway, take care. Till next time. We'll see you next week.